say all the time that print is dead, newspapers don't exist. Meet my guest, a woman who turned an interest in journalism into over 30 newspapers. Straight ahead on my original podcast, Let Me Tell You, I'm Joan Hamburg. To Let Me Tell You, our original podcast, I'm Joan Hamburg. You know, as I was coming into the station, I looked down at the few sparse trees that exist in our neighborhood, our ABC neighborhood, and the crocus were blooming. What a great sign. Despite all the aggravation going on in the world, politically, medically, spring is almost here. It's a reawakening. And it's about hope. And don't forget, too, that daylight saving time starts this weekend. It actually starts at 2 a.m. Sunday. So on Saturday, before you go to bed, turn your clocks an hour ahead. And let me give you a couple of things that I enjoy that I want to share with you. The New York Botanical Gardens, right on Southern Boulevard in the Bronx, is one of our great resources. They have what they call Orchid Evenings at the Botanic Gardens. They have an incredible show starting March 14th and then till April 18th. Really an amazing thing, a dazzling display, lighting and sculpture and more. People are dressing in their floral-inspired fashion. They're walking the runway. There's also Bronx Night Market, great things. And incidentally, at the gardens, they have a restaurant called Hudson Garden Grill. Very nice. Light bite or whatever you want. You can reserve on opentable.com. Let me tell you something else that I love. There's a woman called Myra Alperson, and she does a business. It's called Nosh Walks, N-O-S-H. Her number is 212-222-2243, and she has been leading food tours since the 80s. Now she has more than three dozen in five boroughs. Newark, did you ever go to the Ironbound District? It's so much fun, and it's delicious. Portuguese and Brazilian food. Paterson, New Jersey, Middle Eastern food. Peruvian food. Call her. What she's doing is interesting because, believe it or not, we're almost at Passover Easter. She's offering a public tour Sunday, March 22nd. She calls it her pre-Passover Shmora Matzah Nosh Walk, and it's in Borough Park, Brooklyn. You tour bakeries, appetizing stores, a candy and nut store, a Yemen market, a Yemeni market in Borough Park, synagogues, and then you go to this incredible matzah factory, which does handmade Passover matzah. She charges $63, but it includes everything except for beverages or tips. And if you're bringing the kids and they get a kick out of it, it's $20. Now we're going to get away from food and we're going to take you to the newly renovated Museum of Modern Art, and there's a Donald Judd exhibit, which is quite incredible. That museum is at 11 West 53rd Street. The reviews have been spectacular for this exhibit. I really think it's something that you're going to love, and it's something that you should see. Just going to the museum alone is quite amazing. So, in fact, the first major retrospective dedicated to Donald Judd is now. It's the first time in over three decades. And it's the vision of an amazing artist who revolutionized the history of sculpture. And it's the full scope of his work. And it's fun to wander around that neighborhood, too. You know, the city is so quiet. Even driving to the studio, it's like, where is everyone? people are sort of hiding out at home. But the Museum of Modern Art is a great thing to do. It will make you feel good. It will inspire you. Lots of restaurants, places to eat casually. So take advantage. And by the way, we love you being part of our podcast, and it's very easy to do. Let me tell you, and we do it every single week. In fact, we podcast our regular show, which is heard Saturdays at 1 o'clock, and we have Let Me Tell You podcast. And you can continue to send us ideas for the people you want to hear from, see, you know, all the good stuff. Anyway, enjoy. I'm Joan Hamburg. Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. You know, I have heard for quite a while from various friends of mine about a remarkable woman called Vicki Schnapps. And one woman said to me, you know, this family owns well over 20 newspapers, local magazines. They also own a paper that you've seen if you've walked any street in New York called AM New York. And I kept thinking, in these days of declining media, when we're worried about newspapers, why would Vicki, her son, and whoever is in business with her, keep on buying and buying and become truly a powerhouse in this world? So, and you go to the suburban areas too.
Yes, we go to Long Island and we go to Westchester.
Which is very exciting. But how did all this happen? I'm sure that years ago...
I've got to say how honored I am to be with you. You are my hero.
Thank you.
And you've always in the media been my hero. And to sit next to you is the treat of my life. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. But let's start from the beginning. Your story did not start with, I'm going to be a newspaper mogul.
No. I'm laughing because since I was in second grade, wanted to be a teacher because I love Mrs. Boroff,
right.
My second grade teacher. And I did, and I got my master's degree in teaching. And then life came in, and that's called my first child. And when Lara was born, she turned blue in the nursery. And that caused forever brain damage.
Oxygen deprivation.
Oxygen deprivation. And she was discharged as a normal child, but within 3 months I saw that she was having these flashes, and it turned out it was seizures, and we began the trek around the city to find a place that could help her, and we had nurses, and we had injections. We did everything until one pediatric neurologist said to us, she will be a three-month-old developmentally her whole life.
How terrifying.
Be
First
prepared.
Child, young mother.
So I'm a cockeyed optimist, and I felt, you know, there's going to be something.
We'll fix it.
And there was a place called Willowbrook on Staten Island.
Everyone's nightmare.
Well, at that
not
point.
Then.
Not then. At that point, it was the first place to build an infant rehabilitation center. And so with much trepidation, I brought Lara to that because there didn't exist in 1969 anything in the community to serve people, children with disabilities. And so we did bring Lara there, but I lived in Bayside in a wonderful community of women who were not working those days in the early 70s. They were doing, they called it charity work. I called it a cause. Mm-hmm. And so they came to me and said, Vicki, there but for the grace of God go I. How can I help you? We're so grateful for our healthy children. So in my living room, we started the Women's Organization for Retarded Children, WORC. And we sent busloads of volunteers, and we raised money. And within a year, Governor Rockefeller slashed the budget. And within a year that Lara's being there, my lovely ladies from Bayside became marchers and picketers to get the funds restored. But nobody listened. We were knocking on air with our voices until a young man by the name of Geraldo Rivera
was a broadcaster here for years.
Well, he, you know, snuck in. He was a young cub reporter at Eyewitness News, and he knew a doctor who said to him, you've got to see this. And they snuck him in. And he really exposed what even parents didn't see because
at
Willowbrook. And, you know, he was able to show the pictures, and I'll never forget what he said. I can show you the pictures. You can hear the moaning, the sounds, but how do I describe the smell? And his reporting was so, and I became the spokesperson for the parents. And my husband was a lawyer. He became fighting for a lawsuit. Mm. So we, in fact, ended up suing the federal government with the Willowbrook case. Yeah. And that case was won. And a Willowbrook consent decree was signed. And every child at Willowbrook was given a place in the community. They had to be in a group home with a day program attached. In some way, they had to have a program, not be on the streets like they did with the mentally ill. And my organization turned from a fundraiser to a provider. And so my organization of these lovely ladies...
Right, just a thing in your living room.
Now is a $60 million agency running 45 group homes for children with autism, in the developing problems and day programs, and it's 50 years.
But so here, a bunch of women, not just do good, really did major changes. But where did the newspaper world come
in? Well, I saw Geraldo's Power of the Press. We were knocking on air, we were marching and picketing.
Right, door to door.
And so his coverage, I never forgot, helped propel the Parents Association to sign on to the Willowbrook case. And because of the power of the press, people listened. And so I never forgot. And then I had three more children.
Right.
And I never could go back to teaching. But I met a man who took a buyout from the Daily News, John Toscano. And John started a paper with his buyout. And I was his reporter. And I lived in Bayside.
You mean just like that? You
just
had
like
never
that.
Done that?
No, I don't have one course in journalism. And I don't have one course in business.
That's probably why you're doing so well. So go ahead.
So we started. And then I lived in Bayside when 85. All the buildings that were rental became co-ops.
Yeah.
That was the movement toward the co-oping
That's right.
of apartment
That's where
houses.
Started.
That's where it started. And I believe that if somebody owns their home
or
their apartment,
more.
They're going to want their neighborhood news.
Mm-hmm.
They're
going to
want to know what's happening in the backyard. Why is that pothole still there after a month?
Because they have a vested interest.
And that began, and I started in my living room, the Queen's Courier.
And that became a big deal paper because everyone picked it up.
That's right, because it was about them.
Mm-hmm.
And our title is, We're All About You. That is our theme of all my media. We're all about you.
So you had that paper, but who helped you? You had ads in that paper?
It was me, myself, and I.
You just went store to store, door to door?
Then I started, you know, hiring people. And John Toscano was my guardian angel in terms of, you know, obviously he was an old-time Daily Newsman, and he knew, and I don't think I ever would have had the courage without his guidance and his partnership. But I got the courage a few years later, because we used to fight, because he was a political editor, and I was a consumer, I was an advocate.
Right, you were doing
I was in
what
it for the advocate.
Understood.
So we used to fight every week what paper, what articles would go in the paper.
In your paper.
But I have to share one story which you will appreciate and love. So we bring the first edition. I work from my house. He worked from his house. Once a week, we wrote every article. We took every picture. And once a week, we went to the typesetter. And there they laid out the boards, if you remember those days when the strips of paper would come out of the computographic machine. And they'd be glued to boards. And he said, Vicki, do you want to bring the boards to the printer in Long Island City? We worked in Flushing. I said, yes. So we go to the Long Island City printer, and you know, everything is taken care of, and they bring me the first run. I look at the front cover, and the picture of the newborn baby on the front cover was a black blur. I screeched out, stop the presses! And they did. And we went to the car. We got the photo. We got it reshot. We got it replated. We got the presses running again. And about 2:30 in the morning, they bring me the run.
And it's perfect.
And it's perfect. I said, now it's a run. And my perfection has always been, you know, it's always got to be better. Every issue, every thing
so
we do.
So the Queen's becomes a success.
Well, and in Queens, I also started a Spanish language paper because I saw the demographics of the growth of the Spanish community.
Who helped you with that, though?
So I brought together a focus group of people from different communities within the Spanish world, from Columbia and Jackson Heights, and from not Jackson Heights, from Columbia, from all the Central American countries, from Peru, from Spain, and I said, "Do you think your community is ready for a paper about Queens, but in Spanish?" And 201, they said, "Absolutely, Vicky. We need it. We need to know." And they pointed to me, my finger in my face, and they said, "And you're going to be a success because you're a gringo. You won't have a prejudice of one Spanish community over the other." And I hired a Spanish-speaking editor.
And it took off.
And it took off.
So now you had two.
So I had papers in Queens in every neighborhood. So we had the Queens Courier, then we had a paper over in Astoria, and then we had a paper in Southeast Queens, and we had different editions. And then I was blessed that my son asked me, after he worked for an investment banking firm, he called me one night and said, "Mom, if I'm going to work 24/7, can I come work for you?"
That was fantastic. But it now was. You had how many papers?
I had about nine at the
or
time.
Or now, you kept buying them and developing
them. Organically grown.
So you just
I didn't buy anything.
Them.
I don't
You're
believe
kidding.
I hadn't believed in buying. No. I start papers. But it was my son who came to me one day and said, "You know, Mom, I got a call about some papers in Brooklyn." And I was born in Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn right. girl. And he said, I said, "Josh, look, we have enough papers here in Queens. What do we need Brooklyn?" I said, "What neighborhood is it in?" And he says, "Mom, it's in Bay Ridge." Bay Ridge. I said, "Well, let's talk." And
were
we ended
you
up
born
buying
in Bay Ridge?
No, I was born in the Midwood section of Brooklyn.
I
couldn't live in Bay Ridge because I was only 19 when I was engaged and married. I couldn't be away from my mommy and not be on the BMT line.
That's right.
That was a different subway line,
funny,
so
huh?
I never lived there.
That's funny. And it was the Scandinavian community in those days, too.
And it's really, to this day, a very strong community.
Yeah, it's big.
It's changing a little. You know, the Scandinavians have been replaced by...
Italians.
The Italians have always been there. Diker Heights, who's come in, are the Arabs, the Muslims.
Right.
Communities have taken the place of the Norwegian communities. But it is still a fabulous. It's one of the only communities. Bay Ridge has about 29 community organizations just in Bay Ridge. They're remarkable. So we bought the papers in Bay Ridge, and that began our acquisition mode.
Unreal of what's going on. So tell the audience again, Vicky, how many papers?
I'm up to 72.
What? 72 papers.
Yes, because of the recent acquisition.
And magazines. So let me ask you this. With all the stuff going on, and you started a long time ago.
It's 35 years today.
Oh, is there a change in what people complain about or care about, or do you find it's the same?
People care about their children, about the education. It has never changed. People care about the quality of life. They care about the police. They care about the safety.
Yeah. And they want information.
That's right. The basic quality of life issues are what we cover in the neighborhoods. And there's our power. We don't try to... I'm very blessed. I don't have to cover Trump. And I don't have to...
Right. You don't have to do that.
We don't go there.
Stuff.
We don't go there. No. But we really are very true to each neighborhood. So, for instance, if something happens in Bay Ridge, we talk about it in Bay Ridge.
Uh-huh.
If something happens, I also own Caribbean Life in the Caribbean communities.
And there are a lot.
Oh, it's huge in Brooklyn and in Queens and the Bronx. So it's all about the Caribbean people. Then I have the Spanish media now that we talk about it in the Bronx and we talk about it in Queens and we talk about it in Brooklyn. And then we have, papers in the Bronx, and it's all about the Bronx with a Bronx editor. Every paper has, every borough has its own editor. People can't quite believe I have editors for every. We have over 60 journalists working for us just covering New York City.
Crazy, right?
It is. And people they can't quite put their arms around it because it seems so.
But what do you do about digital now? Are
everything.
You online?
Everything is
Everyone's
online.
Everyone's online.
Every paper has a website. My son is a genius at online.
Is he having a good time? He doesn't miss Wall Street?
Not a moment. Mm-hmm. He is really my blessing in terms of being as passionate about our communities and our business. So he's the numbers man. I just want to make sure there's enough money in the bank to pay everybody. I never missed a payroll in all 35 years.
Well, but you're smart because you're doing something people care about.
Yes.
They care about where they live and they want to know. So
that's
you're
key.
Providing that information. You know, major international papers do a job, but they don't really do that.
And we cover the local political races. So right now there's a big race, you know, in Queens for the borough president. We'll be having, tonight I'm going to be leading a debate at the North Shore Towers for the candidates to come. You know,
and the people will show up, yeah,
absolutely. And if not, we have it streamed online.
Which is great. So what is your dream? You've done more than you thought you would ever do because that wasn't your area.
Well, you know, I take every day by day. You know, we don't have a plan. Newsday came to us within the last few months and said, we want you to take over AM New York, the daily newspaper.
And that's a big deal.
Who could have anticipated that? I couldn't. And we did accept it. And then Metro, the competitor, came to us and said, we're ready to leave and go back to Denmark.
Kidding.
And Metro came to us and said, you should buy us. So now we own AM New York. Metro is the new name.
Fantastic.
So sometimes I think it's a matter of opportunities are now coming to us. We've never, since Bay Ridge, we went with a broker who came to us. But now people come to us about acquiring them.
It's fantastic.
Well, you know, it's, I think if you do what you're committed to doing and you're true to what you are, it just works. And each day is a new adventure.
How many papers do you anticipate? You're going to end up with
I don't anticipate. Papers. Honestly, Joan, I don't anticipate. I just make what I have a success, and we work at it. Everything's supported by advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even
how
the New York Times.
How is the advertising business now? But retail, when it comes to television and even us, is in a very different place.
We're ahead 8%.
You're kidding. Because you go to local stores.
Not just local stores, but I think, you know, the with AM New York Metro, we had Barbados advertising on our front cover. We had Bermuda advertising on our front cover. You know, they get it. We are New York City, the greatest city in the world. And we're bringing them the neighborhoods they want.
Exactly.
Is there a better city in the world? I've traveled the world. I haven't found one.
And you still live in Queens?
No, I moved out to Long Island, and so I have a paper there, Long Island Press.
You're kidding.
But we keep local offices. So we have an office in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We
Everywhere
have an office in
are.
Bayside, uh-huh. And we have an office in the Bronx.
Congratulations, Vicki. Vicki Schnepps, one of the great publishing powerhouses. She didn't inherit it. No great ancestors who grew up in this business. She found the opportunity and made it work. So look for her papers wherever you live. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you, Joan.